Hey, good evening, gang. Welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believers Church. This is our Easter Rewind, and our Easter service was called Alive, and we hope you were with us. If not, we'll try to bring you up to speed here. So as we gather together now, and let's just take a minute to seek the Lord in prayer, and we'll read our passage, okay? Father, as we have gathered here today, we certainly want you involved. We want you to be a part of all that we're doing here so that we're not just spinning our wheels or going through the motions. Thank you for your participation here, your heading up of every service that we have. And as we gather this evening, we ask that you would bless it. John chapter 12, verse 23 through 26 is our text. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." You know, on Sunday, we kind of talked about this, but I would bring it up again this evening. I wonder how many phrases in our Western culture that we throw out there in a daily interaction without effectively having any meaning whatsoever. I mean, how often do you say to somebody, "Hey, how you doing?" But I wonder how often we really don't want to know and we aren't really asking. We just want to be friendly. So, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. So many of these things have actually just become part of our social interaction in a secular world. So what about the phrase, as we discussed on Sunday, what about the phrase, "He is risen"? Maybe even the greater concept behind that statement has been so far ingrained into our culture that it holds little, if any, impact upon our lives and upon our thinking. Certainly, that is a sad testimony of something that holds such an ultimate power and weight into our lives as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Maybe we should say, "Hey, I'm alive today," or "Yo, I'm free," or "Jesus isn't dead, and so neither am I." But because of the fact that he is risen is so important, we need to know that that reality, I mean, everything that we have, everything we see is because of that reality. We live, we breathe, and we have communion, and we experience love, and we experience fellowship, all because he is risen. We were given another chance because he is risen. And for many of us, truth be told, we were given a plethora of other chances. Not any of it because we deserve it or that we somehow earned it. Simply because he loves us and he made us alive again when we were dead men walking. I think many of us today, and certainly the larger church community at large, would like to rid the whole program of any references to anything negative, any negative connotations, or anything that, you know, would kind of be a bummer, anything that would bring us down. I mean, after all, we've done a pretty good job of transforming a faith that intrinsically contains things like surrender, sacrifice, commitment, time consumption, judgment, servanthood, dying to self and world, etc. We've tried to instill these things into our faith when so much of the world is trying to remove them from the faith at large. and just kind of make something up, you know, something that's sort of like a picnic in the park. Because the reality is, today we simply don't want to talk about things like blood and death and the demonic and war. Jesus said in John chapter 6 that anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. And his apostles, if you read the account, were apparently a bit ruffled by what Jesus said, because he asked them, does that offend you? And instead of trying to soften the blow and soften the subject and temper the conversation, notice that Jesus instead kind of offered to show them the door. I mean, he said, do you want to go away too? So clearly, Jesus wasn't going to bend or acquiesce to the culture. Not then, and certainly not now. You know, I don't believe that Jesus is in any way trying to offend somebody or bring us all down, so to speak, or be all doom and gloom. I don't sense that's the nature of our Lord. I mean, come on, we read the Gospels, and a lot of what Jesus had to say was sunny day stuff. But we can't redesign the foundations of Christianity without altering its truth and without changing its impact and changing its power. Now, a spoonful of sugar may make the medicine go down, but let's face it, a diet of nothing but sugar makes your teeth fall out. The fact of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, let's face it, usually just makes people kind of smirk as they walk away from you. I guess I can understand that on some level. I mean, after all, people do not come back from the dead very often, right? But then again, we have to realize Jesus wasn't just some people. He was a man, yes, but he also was all God. That kind of gives him the edge, right? And therefore, death couldn't hold him. Jesus has appeared on Life, Time, Newsweek, hundreds of other publications. Clearly, he shook the foundations of culture and religion and history. Every man and woman who ever hears his name will have to decide what they're going to do with him. Because you see, it's the very nature of Jesus that begs an answer, that urges a response, if you will. How should the reality of Christ's resurrection affect us? What does it mean for and to us? We know that sin has a price, a penalty, if you will. And for God to be just God, there has to be justice. There has to be reparations made. I mean, but is that all this death and resurrection? Is that all it means to us? Is reparations? Squaring things with a house? In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, we read on Sunday, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I came so that they may have life, and that they may have that life more abundantly. So clearly, according to this passage, Jesus died and came back to us so as to bring us more than just eternal life. He triumphed over death, so we're able to do the same. No, and I'm not talking just about physical death tonight, but the death that all men carry inside of them. The stink of death. That rancid taste of mortality. Jesus has offered us a rebirth. In his resurrection, the act of his resurrection, he now can offer us triumph over death, and he offers us rebirth. A new life. A life unlike the one we had in the past. Eyes wide open this time. Hearts and minds aware of sin and pain, love and purpose. You see, that's why the Bible warns us about having our eyes opened in such a manner and then trying to go back. Some serious warnings, because that doesn't end well. I mean, the Bible says point blank that it's better that that individual had never come to Christ in the first place than to come and then try to go back. We can overcome death spiritually here and now. And we can shine like beacons in a dark world. Ultimately, we can overcome physical decay and physical death and enter, as the Bible says, into the eternal glorified. Now Jesus, he told us that he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. That abundant life is available to everyone, and that life is available post-birth. In other words, a man must die to this world first. He must be reborn to experience that subsequent abundant life. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you tonight that that life speaks of a life without pain and sorrow, because it doesn't. It's not. It's a life of purpose, yes. A life of peace, yes. Even through the pain and the sorrow of this fallen world. Life that expresses a scriptural fruit of the Spirit. That love and joy. And then peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All the things that don't come in us naturally, that don't come out of a dead man. We're talking about lives that will stand and do stand in a stark contrast to this world. So Jesus, he painted a picture in our text today of the before and the after. The fact that what dies spiritually and again ultimately physically is reborn in a far greater form than when it died. Therefore, we're able to see our own lives in that picture. We can see that in those lives of the people around us, and once reborn, and how they're the magnification, if you will, of what they once were, of what we once was. We're able to see our lives now multiply in spiritual gifts and just keep growing every day that we live. Paul says in Philippians 1:6 that I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. As the days and the months and the years pass after our personal rebirths, our personal coming back from the dead, we will indeed see our lives grow stronger and more fruitful and more like him. If we are reborn, if we are filled with the Spirit, and gang, if our lives do not grow and become stronger and more fruitful like that, we have to realize that that's God's wake-up call. Maybe. Just maybe, if you don't see that, it's because you're still dead. Maybe like a dream, you thought it was real, but it's not. So the question I have is, have you shared with Christ his resurrection? Are you alive today?